like it did. So he said,
did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Victory Life Ministries welcomes you to our weekly broadcast, The Abundant Life, with teachers Al and Angie Burke. We are committed to emphasizing God's goodness and grace, as well as sharing biblical truths that will help you live a life of victory and peace. God's plan for you is to live above your circumstances, not beneath them. Understanding who you are in Christ, what you have in Him, and how to use what has been given to you will help you to overcome any trial you may be facing. Jesus' death on the cross was not in vain. He made a way for you to experience the abundant life He planned for you all along. Now, here's Al and Angie. Welcome to today's broadcast of The Abundant Life. This is Al and Angie Burke, and we are excited because we're going to tell you the very ending of the story of when Al broke his hip. This is part two. If you remember last week, we told you that he had fallen off a ladder about 6 years ago and taken to the hospital, and the diagnosis was very grim, and we told you how we stood on the Word of God and we walked by faith and not by sight. No matter what we were looking at, what we were seeing, we're standing on the Word of God. God, that Al will not have surgery. I told it to the doctor. I said, my God can heal my husband and will heal him without surgery. That was the confession. That's what we stood on. That's what we wanted. And then, if you remember, they transported us to a trauma hospital to have the actual surgery. They told Al he needed immediate surgery with at least 8 months of rehab and therapy, and he probably wouldn't walk perfect for maybe a year or maybe longer. So that was the diagnosis we got, and we're going to pick up the story. We just arrived at the second hospital, and as they were taking the second set of x-rays, I was walking around the emergency room, and the Lord spoke to me and said, a miracle is taking place right now. And I got very excited. I continued to praise the Lord and thank Him, because we weren't going to put up with anything else. And, you know, I honestly thought that that miracle was that Al was going to be just walking out of the x-ray room perfectly whole and we were going to go home. And of course, that didn't happen. I shouldn't say of course, I just said that didn't happen. But we do have an incredible story of the progress of his healing. And we're bringing this to you because, you know, we do believe in miracles and we believe in instant miracles, but most people experience a progressive kind of a healing. They don't necessarily have an overnight miracle. And this was more progressive for us. And so that's why we want to show you what God did, what he can do in your life. And if you just believe his word, you know what, Al, I was thinking, God just wants believers to believe.
Amen. That's all you got
to
do.
Is that like hard to do? Man. When God says, by the stripes of Jesus, you've been healed, I've given you provision to have healing where you don't have to walk around with crutches for the rest of your life. You know,
yeah,
he's
amen.
Given us that.
You know, he's given us the healing. And what happens is we start listening to other people who are full of unbelief, and they'll start to steal your faith. Well,
yes.
Let me back up a little bit. We got to the second hospital, and this man walked up to me. Asked me my name. I don't know. I may have said this last week, and I gave him my name, and he said, "You don't belong here." And he turned and walked away, and I said, "You're right. I don't belong here. I am healed." So they took x-rays, and they did find a room for me, and they put me up in a room that night. It was late that night, and I spent the whole first night praying, "Lord, tell me what to say to this doctor," because he's coming in at 8 o'clock in the morning to do surgery, and it didn't go well in the first hospital, and I wasn't expecting it to go well at all. Because what do you do when the surgeon says, okay, we're going to do surgery, and you tell him, well, I'm already healed. What are we doing that for?
Right.
I said, this is not going to go well. So I just was praying all night long. I said, Lord, you got to give me the words to say, you know, like words of wisdom. How do I answer this man? Give me the wisdom. Tell me what to say. And the Lord never spoke. It was the whole night. man, God never said anything to me. And I said, well, I don't know. So anyway, the next morning, my wife was there. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, and the surgeon walked in, and I was like, oh no. And he said, well, we looked at the first set of x-rays.
At the first hospital.
At the first hospital. Okay. We looked at the second set of x-rays. That was the one taken at the second hospital. And he looked at it, and he said, well, and we see here from the second set, it's worse than we thought.
Yes, that's what they said. That's what they said.
And my heart was sinking. And he said, but, and it was almost like he was trying to say something else. And he said this, he said, but we're not going to do any surgery.
Praise God.
Yeah, I was
Praise God.
No wonder why God didn't tell me what I needed to say.
That's right.
God was already taking care of this thing. He already had it handled. And you could see the doctor looked at me like, I opened my mouth to say one thing, but something else came out. So I guess we're not going to do any surgery.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like. It did.
So he said at that point it would be, I think he said 12 weeks before you weight bear. And it was like a month and a half or so before you came back to the office for a second visit. And then he just wrote that and walked out.
Yeah, he did. And I remember that moment like it was yesterday, Al, because, you know, my heart was beating too. It was like, okay, how are we going to stand again? Because, Al, we took this stand the minute this happened. We were not going to have surgery. Why have surgery if you don't have to?
Amen.
Right? So, I mean, but the Lord showed me something, guys, and I want to share this. Nothing the first doctor said at the first hospital was incorrect or wrong. Nothing. He was right. The Lord showed me the doctor was totally right in his diagnosis of what you had and what he wanted to do. But because of what we stood for, because the words of our mouth lined up with the word of God, God's grace was released into the situation. And here was what the miracle was. Something happened between the first hospital and the second hospital in the spirit realm to change the diagnosis.
Yes.
And this is what we can have in our lives. We can change our destiny by the words we speak and what we believe.
I give you a guarantee right now, if we would have agreed with the first doctor, they would have done surgery.
Absolutely.
Because it would have been by my confession. Well, the doctor says this, that's it. We're going to have surgery. Guaranteed they would have done it. But, you know, this is only the beginning of the story and some of the things God did. And so they left me in the room there, and I think I was in the hospital for 10 days. I don't really remember. But I remember the Lord said to me this. He said, it is crucial that you do not complain about anything. Doctors, hospitals, you name it.
Oh, that's great.
I had plenty to complain about in that second hospital, or could have complained about. But you know what? I was not going to complain. I wasn't going to mess up my healing. And you know what? In the midst of all of the bad that went on, there was plenty good to think about. You know, the fact that I even had a hospital to go to. There's some countries where there's no hospital. Put them in a bed and leave them there. And
remember when the hospital went on, the smoke in the hospital?
Oh, my
God.
And
that was just right after God told you not to complain?
Yeah, right after that night, I woke up in the middle of the night. Now, I can't walk. I can't move.
Yeah.
And I woke up in the middle of the night, and the room was full of smoke. I mean, it was really bad. So I'm hitting the button for the nurse and hitting the button. An hour later, the nurse walks in. She goes, what do you want? I said, is the hospital on fire? I just wanted to know. And she goes, no.
Yeah.
And she walked out. Well, the next day I asked him, I said, why was the hospital full of smoke last night? She goes, oh, every time they run those diesel generators to check them, it blows diesel smoke in the building.
Opportunity for offense, opportunity to complain, right?
And you know, like you can't fix this. You just let it blow smoke in the building. It was terrible. But it was, you know, it was an opportunity for fear. Hey, I can't walk. The building's on fire.
That's right.
The nurse isn't answering. But you know what? I just trusted God. I'm going to come through this.
And an opportunity to complain.
You know why? It was an opportunity to complain, to be offended. But you know what? God said, don't complain. And I was just thanking God and he was going to take care of me.
Yes.
I didn't care if the place was on fire. Something's going to happen. I'll be fine.
And he always gives us a heads up. He always knows what's coming, of course, so he warns his people. He's so faithful to us. But I remember every morning I got up at 5 o'clock because I had a 40-minute ride to the hospital. I spent at least 12 hours with Al every day. And I remember getting up very early in the morning, and I was thanking God right after that diagnosis that he doesn't need surgery. And I said, that's it, God. We did it. I've got a testimony that I can share. This is going to help so many people. He doesn't need surgery. Thank you, Lord. This is finished and done. And I looked up at the mirror, and on my mirror, I have this little sign, and it says, "Don't limit God." And the Lord spoke to me at that moment, and he said, "Angie, do not limit me to just no surgery." He said, "I have much more to do here. Take the limits off of me."
Amen.
Now, can you think, oh, we can't limit God? Oh, yes, we can. In Psalm 78:41, it says the Israelites turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel.
It said they grumbled and complained, and that's why God was saying to me, don't complain. It's important that you don't complain, because you start limiting God when you do.
Absolutely. We can limit God, people. He himself is limitless. He doesn't have any limits, regardless of what we might think. But we will experience God's deliverance only as far as we believe. Let me just say it this way. If you don't believe God heals, then you won't be healed.
Amen. That's
because
it.
You know why?
He can't.
Because you're limiting his healing power, right, Al?
No, right. What happened with Jesus? He said in the beginning he could do no mighty miracles there because of their unbelief, not that he was incapable or did that his arm was short that he couldn't supply. Well, anyway, getting back to the story, I believe I was in the hospital 10 days and we went home.
Well, yeah, but remember the part about the giving. This is really important, the giving
in the
hospital.
Like,
when I was up one morning praying, the Lord told me that we were to send, he wanted me to send a certain amount of money to a ministry, of which, by the way, we learned a lot of these principles through this ministry, and he wanted us to give a tithe or money to this ministry, and he gave me the amount. And then he also told me to send a $500 love offering to a girlfriend of mine who was I haven't talked to her in years. But anyway, so I get to the hospital and I said to Al, maybe we should make a donation somewhere. And he told me where to do it. And it was the same one I was thinking. And it was the same exact amount that I was thinking. The Lord tells his people what he wants to get done.
Yeah, it's important you tithe toward what you want in life. Not only do you pray and believe, but tithe for it. In other words, your money going in is your seed, and your harvest is whatever you need or want.
That's right. And what we were also doing is sticking it in the devil's face, because the Bible says that giving money is the least that we could do with our faith. That's the least. God considers it the least, and we put so much emphasis on money, and yet it's the least we can do, God says. And he says this, if you can't trust me with that which is least, then you'll never trust me for Al's healing. So it was an act of faith.
Yeah, amen. And tell him what happened with the other girl we hadn't seen in a long time, and the Lord said send her $500.
Yeah, and we did.
And we did.
About 3 weeks later I get a letter from her. We had no idea. We haven't had been in touch with her for months, and she sends me a letter saying, I believe it was that week.
It was that day that she got the check that they were going to shut off her electric because she hadn't paid it in 3 months.
And she owed like $450 or something like that. And she had an extra $50 and she tied that to the Lord. So it was like, we didn't know any of this, but God knows. So it's so important when you hear the Holy Spirit's leading to obey.
Yeah, she owed like $450 for her electric bill. They said, we're coming today to shut it off. The check came that day. And she said, just give me one more day and I'll have this paid to you. She was able to pay them, stop the electric from going off, and still had $50 to give to somebody else. Isn't that awesome? God knows what he's doing, and it worked out well.
And then when we went home, Al, they sent you home with a ton of medication. And
We
had in our house, we had hospital beds, we had crutches, we had wheelchairs, we had everything you could think of. And I looked around one day and I just said to myself, this is just not God. This is not God. And I knew that this was just going to be very temporary because we weren't going to have it any other way. Yet remember, the doctors told us you're not going to be able to walk perfectly or even walk barely for a year. That was what we went home with. This is what they told us. Do not bear weight on that for 10 or 12 weeks and you won't be walking right for a year. That's what they told us.
Well, so what happened was we were supposed to go back for the second visit. I think it was 10 or 12 weeks after the date of injury. And I had decided that I was going to walk by faith. And that's it. I said, you know what? I'm getting out of this wheelchair. It was awful. So I quick called the doctor and I made an appointment to come back and see him, which was exactly 5 weeks from date of injury was the date of the second visit. And we weren't supposed to be there. I just made the appointment. And when the five, you know, and you know what else, you were talking about the medicine and all of that. They sent us home with a lot of drugs.
Yes,
and I think I was taking those drugs for a couple of days. And I just decided that I was already healed. One of them was a pain reliever. And I just said, you know, I can feel the addictive nature of this stuff. This is not right. And I just took and threw it all away and went instantly cold turkey off of everything. Okay. Had no problem at all. Nothing.
That's right.
Just believed God.
You had to take shots for to prevent blood clots.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got rid of
and
them.
And again, this is the doctors are operating in what they know.
Yeah, they're trying to help us. But
we were operating in faith.
So we're heading back to the doctor now. It was 5 weeks from date of injury. We're in the car. We're heading down there, and I'm starting to lose my faith. And I'm going, oh, no. They're going to say, what are you doing here? Why did you do this? What's the matter with you? And I, you know, you got to maintain your faith. I put a CD in from Andrew Womack, which was, you've already got it. And I was building my faith up. I already got this. I already got this healing. I already got this. I was building myself up. And we got to the doctor's office and we went in and they took an x-ray again of the whole thing and put me in a little room. And they don't do x-rays like in the old days. They do it all on a computer. So we're sitting in this little room and we're waiting for the doctor to come in. And doctor comes in and he can't get the picture to come up, you know, the x-rays to come up on the screen. So they bring the lady in who took the x-rays and she's working on it. And the picture comes up, the fractured hip. And she's looking at it and she goes, oh my God. And this, I quote, that's a significant break for no surgery. And she turned and gave me this look like you're done and walked out. And I said, oh no, they're going to do surgery after all. You got to be kidding me. And you know what? I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't change my faith. I didn't. And what did you say?
What did I say? Well, as she was walking out, I knew that that was a way that the enemy was using to try to get us back into fear so that we would have to have the surgery after 5 weeks. And I just looked at Al, I grabbed him, and I said, don't listen to her. Do not pay attention to her. Don't listen to her. And, you know,
and the doctor standing there watching this go on.
I wasn't mad. I was just operating in faith. I knew what I had to do to stay where I had always stayed throughout this whole thing. And I wasn't going to let up. And I was protecting myself from falling into unbelief because, honestly, it was real easy to do what we went through. The whole time, you know, the first few weeks we were home, it was horrible. It was so dark and dismal. It was so, Al would have sweats at night. He would be pain. He would be in pain. I didn't know what to do for him. I mean, it was a hard time.
Yeah. So I finally decided after all this time to finally look at these x-rays. So I was on crutches and I kind of hobbled over to the thing. And I don't know what I'm looking at. But I began to look at it, and I saw the good side, and I began to compare it to the bad side. I was looking to the right, to the left, to the right. And oh, my God, when I saw it, broken pieces just halfway back together, and I about fainted right then and there. I mean, it was bad. And so I hobbled back to the table, and I said, Doc, you got to help me. I said, these crutches are just so hard. My arms and my armpits are just in so much pain. I said, I can't go on like this anymore. I said, I need some help. And with that, the doctor's looking at this x-ray. And now, so far, things are not looking good. The first lady said, you're in trouble. I saw him. That wasn't good. And the doctor's looking, and he's looking, and he goes, you know, Al, I'm going to help you with that. He said, this is healing beautifully. You're fine. You're free. You can go walk. 5 weeks from date of injury, from 11 months to 12 months, a year, whatever it was, we brought it down to 5 weeks. And he said, you can walk. So I went in on crutches and I walked out of the doctor's office with difficulty because, you know, you don't realize, but after 5 weeks, you kind of forget how to walk. It took me a little work,
yeah. But
I got going again. And so we came in on a wheelchair, you could say it. We actually came in on crutches and we went out walking. Praise God.
That's right. You did. That's right. And remember, it was no 12 weeks before you fared right on that. It was 5 weeks because we determined what we wanted. You can determine your own destiny if you just believe it and it lines up in accordance with the Word of God. You know, you don't have to be under your circumstances. You could be above your circumstances. All things are under our feet as born-again Christians.
Take a chance. Believe God. Go for the 5 weeks. So what's the worst thing they're going to do? Say, go home? I mean, so who cares? I was fighting for my healing, and I wasn't going to give up easy.
And because there was not much to do during those 5 weeks, I thought, you know, this story is too good not to share. So I sat down on my computer, and I started asking Al some questions, and we put this story together, and it turned out to be quite a story, and it's actually one of 20 stories in our first book called God's Best Is For You Too. It's 10 faith stories of mine and 10 faith stories of Al, day-to-day stories, you know, that we share of how God is involved in the little things in your life as well as the big things. But it was the hip story that started us writing our books. I think we have 3 or 4 out right now and more to come. And, you know, they're all available on victorylife.aa. Well, that's at gmail.com. You could email me or victorylifeministries.org.
Or you can call.
Is our website. So
did you give them the phone number?
Yeah,
there,
the phone number is at the end of the show. Okay. So you'll hear that. So, I mean, you can get those books, but you know, it's just amazing what God's. And I remember our neighbor walked over, and who lives right on the same property, actually, and he walked over to see how Al was doing. And at that time, he was in the wheelchair before our 5 week visit. And, you know, he was basically saying, how do you do it? How did you get through this? What is your secret? And we were able to share with him the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the power of speaking in tongues and what that does for a person. And he basically said, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we actually led that man to the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our kitchen while he was in a wheelchair.
Amen.
We don't stop. We don't stop.
You know, another thing that happened, when I got home from the 5 weeks, and I was walking around, and occasionally the whole thing, like, would just, the hip would just quit, and I would fall.
Yes.
And so what I started doing was walking up close to a wall or by the kitchen cabinets where I could catch myself, and after several falls, I fell again, and I got up, and I said, that's it. Hip, you're never going to do this to me again. I'm going to walk, and this isn't going to happen. Never happened again. We just slowly continued to heal. And, you know, the doctor told me something when I was in the office. He said, now listen, he said, sometimes later on when you get well, he said, people have lots of pain from these kind of injuries. And so I didn't pay any attention to it at the time. And, this was weeks and weeks after. I was sitting on my couch, just sitting there, no, nothing. And this pain began to come down on me. It felt like 1,000 pounds was just lowered down from like a crane or something. Just pain, just pressure and pain coming down on me. I'm like, whoa, what is this? And I just sat there and I just said, no, get out. And it felt like it was just lift, like there was a crane that had lowered this weight, and it just lifted it up and just lifted it off of me, and it was gone. You know, the devil loves a good injury. It gives him an excuse to stay.
Yes.
In other words, you've had some injuries over the years, and maybe it's cold and rainy, and you go, oh, yeah, my shoulder or whatever is painful every time. No, it's not.
That's true.
That's the devil just using you. That excuse will work every time for the devil because you're falling into his trap.
That's right. I remember once I hit my head and somebody said to me, oh, you're going to have problems later. And I immediately rejected that in Jesus' name to myself and out loud because that's never going to happen to me. Okay, but Al, there's one thing we've forgotten. We are running out of time. Tell them when we left the hospital, the nice bill that they handed us.
Yeah, I was in there 10 days and got a bill for $40,000. I laughed at that one. I said, I don't know how you guys come up with these numbers. But anyway, so I didn't ask, okay? But somebody,
We didn't have insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. I didn't have health insurance. In fact, I never had it all my life. Because I believe I'm already healed. Remember, I said it's finished at the cross. So I'm already healed. So I don't need health insurance. Now, I'm not mad at you. If you have health insurance, that's fine with me. I'm not against anybody. You do what you feel you need to do. But I never had health insurance all my life. And so now, yeah, I'm fine. But I had this $40,000 bill looking at me. And,
wow.
You know, that's a lot of money for 10 days. I don't know how they get those kind of numbers. And anyway, somebody else, I didn't ask a soul, I didn't even tell anybody what it was. Somebody else that I know went down to the hospital and paid the bill in full for
Thank
me.
Thank you, Jesus.
So
Thank
not
you,
only did
Jesus.
God heal me, he shortened the time, but he paid the bill. And you know, I don't know why it wasn't 5 hours or 5 days, but it was 5 weeks, which to me
that's
is
right.
awesome when you're looking at something that's almost going to be a year before you're not normal, and you did it in 5 weeks. And I would say I walked in 5 weeks. I'd say by the sixth week, I was 100%. And to this day, this is years later, I don't even know.
That's right.
I mean, it's completely out of my mind, any kind of residual pain or anything. In fact, somebody said to me just recently, they asked me and they said,
Which hip,
you know, what sides did you... And I was like, oh, my God, I don't even know. And I was like...
You mean you never... you didn't even remember which side you broke?
No, because
Praise
there was nothing.
God.
There was no
He overturns
of,
it.
There was no kind of pain in any kind of way that I would say, oh, yeah, I know it's the left side. I just kind of said, I got to try to remember this. And I was like, is it the right? Oh, no, that's right. It's the left side was where I fell. That's how healed I am
Praise
today.
Praise God.
Because in part, I will not let the devil put some kind of residual thing on me, some kind of leftover pain. And don't think he hasn't tried.
That's
There's
right.
There's been times when all of a sudden something would be painful and I just go, no, we're not going there, Mr. Devil. You're done. I'm healed. And it just leaves just
Hallelujah.
Like that. The devil will always, whatever healing you've ever had from God, if God's done something good for you,
yes.
If you ever got a miracle or semi-miracle, the devil's always going to come back and try to put it back on you. And if you accept it, you'll get it back.
That's right. Do not embrace it. Do not accept it. Do not go with it. Put a wall up between you and whatever's trying to come against you and fight it. And remember when we gave in the hospital and we gave substantial amount of money. And the Bible says if you give, it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give unto your bosom. And that's exactly what happened when our bill was paid. And that's exactly what happened when our bill was paid, and we never asked and we never told a soul, and we just thank the Lord for that. We thank you for joining us today, God. Listen, the abundant life is awesome. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to leave any part out. It's for you, God is no respecter of person. He loves us, and he loves you the same. So take advantage of what he's given you. Thanks for listening today. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged, knowing that God is a good God and has only good things planned for you, and he's ready and willing to reveal those good things. Acts 10:34 tells us that God is no respecter of persons, so what he has done for one, he will certainly do for you. Why? Because he loves you endlessly. Our phone lines will be opened for the next hour. The number is 772-485-9098. That's 772-485-9098. Our email address is victorylife.aa@gmail.com. And our website is victorylifeministries.org, where you can find testimonies, audio teachings, books by Alan Angie, and upcoming events. Once again, thank you for joining us, and remember, victory is yours through Jesus Christ.
Should see the stars tonight, how they shimmer, shine so bright against the black, they look so white, coming down from such a height to reach me now. beats me now. And you should see the moon in flight, cutting across a misty night, softly dancing in sunshine. Reflections of its light, reach me now.